Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation today is with John Nolan, Deputy Postmaster General and Chief Marketing Officer of the U.S. Postal Service. Welcome, John.
Glad to be here.
And joining me in our conversation is another PwC partner, Nancy Stacy. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, John, in this first segment, let's talk about your career. You began with the Postal Service in 1970. Could you tell us about the various positions you've held?
Well, I actually started in the Postal Service as a management intern right out of college. And I did that for a short period of time and then moved into a program management position in Washington and got involved in the startup of our new bulk mail centers back then in the late 70s or mid-70s, starting up these 33 centers. Came back to Washington from New York, where I had been in starting up the first of those centers, and worked in Washington for a while, and then moved back out to the region, our regional office in New York City, and held a couple of positions before I became postmaster in New York City. And after 19 years, I left the Postal Service and went to work for Merrill Lynch for 11 years, and like a bad penny, I'm back.
John, you served as general manager and postmaster for the New York division, as you mentioned, which is the largest division, not only in the Postal Service, but also worldwide. What did you learn from that experience?
Well, it was a great job. As postmaster in New York, you were the 800-pound gorilla. And so pretty much you had the opportunity to do what you wanted, and people were just happy that you wanted to do it. And if you were successful, they wanted you to keep being successful. But I think the biggest thing in that job, you're really running a business. You really are. You have customers. You have a mission that you have to carry out every day. And constantly talking to your customers and communicating their needs aggressively within the organization, I think, was the most critical thing. Because if not for the customers, we don't have a reason for being in existence. So I think in an organization that large, 25,000 employees, and as many customers as we have, you can't over-communicate. You've just got to constantly communicate.
You also mentioned that you worked for Merrill Lynch for 10 years after a long tenure with the Postal Service. How do you contrast your experience in the private sector with that in the public sector?
Well, there's a much greater focus on money in the private sector, I'd say. We had one figure, really, that drove a lot of our behavior at Merrill Lynch, and that was return on equity. We can't do that in the Postal Service. It's a little bit more complex. So, in a sense, it's easier in that sector, although Merrill Lynch is a very complex company. I think our set of problems is very challenging because you not only have to worry about what would a normal business person do in a situation like this, but what are the political implications, because we're not just a regular business. But I think it's very similar in many ways. The business I was running was actually a mayor-related business for Merrill Lynch, and so they had a lot of similarities. But I found the focus on profits, the overriding focus on money, to be a very all-encompassing one and a very healthy one in many respects, because it forced people to really think about the consequences of what they did in very clear monetary terms every day.
How did your experience at Merrill Lynch prepare you for your present position?
I think that there was a greater breadth at the way we looked at problems that I've got now. That, you know, I had the postal experience, now I've got the Merrill Lynch experience. I've seen things from both sides. I think I understand better all sides of issues that typically come in front of us. I was a customer, so I knew what it's like to be a customer of the Postal Service and the satisfactions and sometimes the frustrations in that regard, dealing with a very large organization. I had an advantage because I knew about the inside of the Postal Service, so that gave me some advantages. But I saw the way our people had to deal with the Postal Service, and I think it's enabled me, as we get into discussions of key policies, programs, futures, et cetera, to stop and say, well, wait a minute. What would I be thinking if I was sitting on the other side of the fence again? And I think that's certainly an advantage.
What is it about public service that attracts you?
Well, it's just a very challenging period. I was very fortunate in the in the years I was at Merrill Lynch financially, so I'm able to consider this again, because the big drawback for me, of course, is financially doing this. But I've known Bill Henderson for 25 years. The prospect of working alongside of him and the rest of the management team is one that I thought would be interesting. Certainly is a very challenging time in the history of the Postal Service, and I think the one thing that got to me is that 20 years from now, Bill said, someone's going to write a book about the Postal Service. You need to be in that book. Again, referencing the fact this is a particularly critical time. And as soon as my wife heard he asked that or made that statement, she says, oh, no, you're taking the job. So I think the tremendous challenge, the sheer size and the importance of what we do is something that's pretty, for someone like me, is hard to overlook.
Which positions or management challenges provided you the best opportunity to develop as a leader?
Oh, I think that being postmaster of New York with 25,000 employees, trying to change directions in what we were trying to do, dealing with the unions, the customers, the management groups, really helped me grow as a leader. I think that some of just before then, my position as a regional director of customer services in the Northeast region, the Postal Service, and had to deal with the entire regional area. And again, communication being key was one. And frankly, at Merrill Lynch, trying to build a company within a company that's not a mail business, to try and figure out how do you get people whose main mission in life isn't what you're trying to accomplish, but for whom it's very important that that we do well. How do you get them moving in that direction and getting people excited about this new company you want to form? And I think all three of those things would be things I'd point to.
You mentioned communication, and I'm wondering about some other key characteristics of leadership.
Well, I think leaders challenge limits. They challenge processes that exist to make sure that, you know, that we are on the right track. I think leaders have to inspire a shared vision. I think that's a very important thing that just managers sometimes don't do, but that shared vision is very critical. I think leaders find a way to enable others to do their best and to really serve as a role model, to encourage the heart. You know, it's not just the things that you do, but why you do them, and to get enthusiastic about those. And I think leaders have a tremendous performance bias. It's not let's sit down and think about it. It's let's go, let's do, let's make something happen. So I think those are critical things for a leader.
How do you do that in such large organizations?
Oh, you know, in some ways, I don't know that the size is necessary. Size is part of the problem, I guess, but it's the bias within the organization. It's the way you structure things. It's the way you challenge people within an organization. Size can be a tremendous advantage because you've got tremendous resources to bring to bear on a given issue. So I think structure comes into play there, and how people feel about what needs to be done. I think the big thing is that you can't get into this mindset that this is a big ocean liner, and when you turn the wheel, it takes, you know, all those analogies that you always hear. The fact is that you give an order, and a whole lot of dust can start to move in one direction if you get people moving that way. And so you can make some pretty big changes in a hurry if you're crystal clear about what you're doing and why you're doing it, and you're able to communicate that.
Do you think the characteristics of leadership have changed over time?
Oh, I don't know. I think that it may be that the need for increasing flexibility because of the speed at which change occurs is one that's risen to the top of the list of things that leaders have to be aware of and concerned about. So I think that flexibility of all the things, I think that's probably one that leaders have to be more conscious of.
I'm talking with John Nolan of the U.S. Postal Service. This is the Business of Government Hour. We'll rejoin our conversation in just a few minutes.